The Baltimore City Council had a lot on its agenda as it met last night, and WYPR City Hall reporter Emily Sullivan was there to take it all in. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Nathan.
So what were the main takeaways from last night's meeting?
Well, we've got some notable bills chugging along through the legislative process, and a few interesting things were introduced. So we'll start with the latter.
Okay.
So elected officials in Baltimore already have to file certain financial disclosures, like what businesses they might own, but Councilman Ryan Dorsey thinks that's not enough. Last night, he introduced a bill backed by most of the council that explicitly prohibits elected officials and their staffers from accepting or soliciting gifts from constituents or from people seeking business from the city, what have you.
This is the latest in a series of transparency bills Dorsey has introduced over the last year, and it comes after a year in which several Maryland politicians have been forced out of office by scandal. What else was introduced at last night's meeting?
Well, City Council President Brandon Scott is attempting to tackle the opioid crisis, which is dire. Here in Baltimore, more than 3,500 people have died since 2015. So last night, Scott introduced a resolution that'll lead to two hearings in City Hall. The first will be a hearing on syringe service expansion. Representatives from the health department, the police department, the law department, and other city agencies will go to City Hall and they'll explain the status of those service programs in the city and state. The second will be a hearing on overdose prevention sites. Those are highly regulated locations staffed with medical personnel where people use illegal drugs. They kind of resemble medical clinics. And studies show that these sites reduce overdoses, addiction, crime, and rates of HIV infection. There are none in the U.S. now, but there are over 100 throughout the world. And the same stakeholders will show up in City Hall to discuss OD prevention sites and how they could be established in Baltimore City.
These are hearings. Do we know what these hearings are actually going to accomplish?
That's a good question. Hearings are a way to formally, on the record, hear what different city departments say can and can't happen. So if departments seem willing to play ball, the council could try to introduce legislation to establish OD prevention sites and the like. Governor Larry Hogan has called the concept of such prevention sites an insane idea, but there is strong support for these sites among local harm reduction groups. And when Philadelphia tried to open a safe consumption site, the Department of Justice sued the city, but a U.S. judge did rule that their plan didn't violate the Controlled Substances Act.
So what else was on the agenda yesterday?
Beyond that bill introduction and resolutions, another bill is trucking along, including the Trauma Responsive Care Act.
What is this one supposed to do?
So in Baltimore, kids are traumatized more often than kids in the rest of the state. So over the summer, Councilman Zeke Cohen introduced this bill to try and combat the effects of childhood trauma. And last night at the hearing, he talked about recent homicide victims, Destiny Harrison and Carmen Rodriguez, mothers who were shot and killed in front of their children.
We know that without a major intervention, that trauma that those children have endured will only get worse. It will lead to horrific health outcomes. It will lead to a higher likelihood that they themselves will be either victims or perpetrators of violence.
The bill focuses on something called trauma-informed care, which basically means treating the whole person. It means taking into account someone's past trauma and how that might inform their coping mechanisms, like isolation or drug use, and meeting that person from a place of empathy versus judgment. The bill would require certain agencies that are present in kids' lives, like rec and parks, to train staff on trauma-informed care. It also requires city agencies to deliver progress reports to a trauma-informed care task force, made up of stakeholders throughout the city. So it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of bill. And now it's been moved to third reader, meaning the council can pass it at its next meeting. After that, it'd be sent to Mayor Jackie Young's desk to be signed into law.
And we will hear about the progress of that legislation after the next council meeting. Emily Sullivan is WYPR's City Hall reporter. Thanks so much, Emily.
Thanks, Nathan.